Be seated, please. God, I offer myself to you to build with me and to do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do your will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of your power, your love, and your way of life. May I do your will always. Amen. In AA and many other 12-step programs, that is known as the third step prayer. The third step being, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood God. The clause that jumped out to me the first time I heard it, at least that's the way I remember it, was, relieve me of the bondage of self. Most people in the grip of addiction are simultaneously in the grip of self-absorption. That can take various forms, such as simply and totally disregarding the feelings and needs of others, being pathologically concerned about others' opinions of oneself, having an inflated opinion of oneself, having a chronically low opinion of oneself, to name just a few. Just to be clear, I don't think addicts have cornered the market on self-centeredness, but it does seem to be one of the hallmarks of that disease. The overarching characteristic of this bondage of self is that it leaves little room for God. It stands in opposition to the freedom that comes with knowing and accepting that there is a being or a force or a spirit greater than oneself. Talk like that might seem superfluous in church where we all believe in God, but, and you knew there was but how often do we believers think and act as if everything depended on us and our efforts alone? Obviously, I can't answer for you, but I can tell you that more often than I care to admit, I worry and fret over a problem or a potential problem for an agonizingly long time before it occurs to me that I might pray about it. That, well, it often goes something like this. Wait a minute, there is something I can do. And the first step is to stop doing, stop fretting, and ask for God's help. Sometimes the prayer is nothing more than help. Help me to release my knuckle and mind-numbing grip on this. Rarely have I done that. Okay, never. Have I heard God say, Michael, you need to go here and do this and take care of that? However, frequently have I had this experience. I take a breath, something on my own I've forgotten to do during this process, slow down, and the problem before me seems clearer. Sometimes it's merely that I've shut up and someone else says something filled with wisdom, offering a way through the situation at hand. That happens at vestry meetings, for example. I often say at vestry and other meetings, and that's why we have meetings, because somebody hears something that nobody else has heard, but the interaction makes it possible. More than the interaction. God makes it possible. Another example of the way that works is an incident in my former parish. It was moments before, again, a vestry meeting. And I was frantically searching for a document needed in that meeting. I was tearing my study apart, looking for in file folders, drawers, stacks of paper, and by grace, there's no other explanation, it occurred to me that I might ask God for help. I don't even know what the prayer was. I would like to think it wasn't, God help me find that sheet of paper. But something more general like, help. I took a breath, accepted my inability to make things happen, to power through, and then, calmly, I looked in the first file folder in front of me, one in which I'd looked two or three times before, and there was the document I needed. It's a pretty mundane story. No falling off an ass, no blinding light, no voice from heaven. The world was not changed, but I was. The I in this case is what that clause points to, the bondage of self. My fear that I would fail, that others would think ill of me, would find me out as incompetent. I, me. When it became less about me and more about the good of the parish, God's will, though again I confess, those words did not go through my head. The help washed over me. Now, before I leave this humble example, please understand that the point is not that I found the document I was looking for, but that, however briefly, I was relieved of the bondage of self. It wasn't all about me anymore. In fact, had I not found the paper, I would still have gone into that meeting in a calmer state, better prepared to do what we were there to do, to seek and do God's will, to further God's kingdom in the world, or in the words of today's college, to show forth God's power among all peoples, in however small an increment. The story we've received today, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, importantly, on a Sabbath day. When God's will presented itself to him, he healed the woman who'd been crippled for 18 years. Please note that in this case, the cure, the healing, is not the startling thing. It's pretty clear that cures were expected, business as usual, during business hours. As the leader of the synagogue said, 6 days a week you could come and be cured. The point at issue is legalism. Theological legalism in terms of the practice of the faith at that time. As Linda was reading the passage from Isaiah, I thought about it earlier, but I've got to stick it into the sermon. All of that going on that Isaiah does about the Sabbath. But the most important thing he says about it, keeping the Sabbath holy, is if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, later on he says, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interest, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. But what the leader of the synagogue, that's the way he's identified in this passage, has to say, has to do with breaking the rules about the Sabbath. Maybe he's motivated by the weight of his authority. Maybe he's caught up in the political, religious movement against Jesus. Maybe he wants to show everyone there who is boss. And it seems like it's more himself than God. We just don't know. So, he might have been in need of some relief from bondage of self. Jesus might have known that. Jesus was clearly unconcerned about others' opinions of himself. He, God incarnate, was clearly concerned with this child of God who'd been suffering for years. He also, pretty clearly, was concerned that everyone in attendance should understand that God's grace and love and power are more important than the rules we humans devise. What he says to the woman is, you're set free from your ailments. To the leader, he says, this woman, a daughter of Abraham, should be set free from this bondage. Freedom is the message. Freedom from a disease, yes, but also freedom from the notion that we, by our efforts and rules and regulations and judgments, make God act on our behalf. So to a paraphrase and amend somewhat the call for today, we gather together in unity of spirit in order to set aside our bondage to self and to show forth God's power among all peoples to the glory of God's name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.